Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
This is Cruise Radio.
Now more than ever, you should consider trip insurance for any kind of trip you take, not just cruises. Get a free quote at tripinsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. A doubleheader for you this week. So Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy, we checked in with him last month when he was floating around on Celebrity Millennium on the first sailing open to U.S. residents. Now he's across the ditch in the Aegean Sea, checking out things on Celebrity Apex on an 8-night Mediterranean cruise. And then later on in the show, we'll check in with Noam. He just returned from Royal Caribbean's Freedom of the Seas. It was a 4-night cruise that went to Nassau and Perfect Day out of Port Miami. We'll get a full recap of that voyage as well. If you're looking for the cruise news, check out the Cruise Radio News feed. It's just opposite of this channel. Three things you need to know every day and the stock quote, or also on our YouTube channel. All right, Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy, is punched up and ready to go. What's new out there?
Well, Doug, sailing out here in the Aegean Sea. Well, what have I done? I've gone from the Caribbean to the Mediterranean, and the weather is just spectacular. So between Millennium to Edge to Apex, it's just been a seriously surreal experience, each one uniquely different. And all I could tell you is it's just been extraordinary to be able to sail on such large ships with so few people and go into ports with so few people. You get a better chance to experience. A good example was Santorini, which usually they'll have, you know, 7 to maybe 8, 9 ships out there, and the port can be packed. The town of Thera is packed, and we just had a few ships. Windstar was there, Jewel of the Seas, and Celebrity Apex. It was just great to be able to walk through the town, eat in the restaurants, and it was just us. So this is really like sailing on a big yacht with all of the creature comforts of home and sailing to some really beautiful ports.
What is the vibe like on board on this sailing over in the Mediterranean?
It's been great. You know, people really are enjoying themselves. You know, whether, you know, we're up at the retreat, out by the pool, you know, over in Ocean View Cafe, it's been fine. People have, you know, really enjoyed it. The shows have been very good. The shops are open. People are just happy. In Greece, you know, we're having to wear masks. Sometimes they're really not enforcing it. It's really not that big a deal. It's just very different than the experiences in the Caribbean, but, it's just so nice to get away, you know, with family and friends and enjoy the fun of travel and being together.
Well, what signs are showing you that Europe is opening back up, because they've been without tourism for about 16 months?
They have, but I can tell you, there was a lot of Americans in Athens. I mean, you know, we're seeing a big difference. I mean, there's nobody from the United Kingdom. So no one from England is on board. No, there's no Germans. There's no French. There aren't any Italians on board. So it's really just Americans. We saw some people from Saudi Arabia that were on Jewel of the Seas. I mean, they only had 500 people on board that ship. But it's just nice to be able to, you know, kind of just have a, you've always dreamed of having, your, you know, a big yacht. And this is it. And It's a time that, you know, to be able to experience, especially in the summer, Doug, before, you know, life returns to normal, we see the capacities of the ships, you know, reach their normal 100% occupancies. So if people could get away right now, these are extraordinary times to be able to experience, you know, these ships with reduced capacities, everybody's vaccinated, and be able to go into the ports and really just have a nice time. And, you know, you're not getting crammed.
What's the shore excursion situation like? Because you and I have been over to the Med a lot of times together. We'd like to explore like Florence on our own and Rome on our own. Can you do that on a cruise right now in the Mediterranean?
Yeah, we have not been required to do any cruise line tours. The COVID levels have been low in the ports we've visited. Hopefully, Celebrity is going to make the smart move and dump Cyprus, because that was Limassol was unfortunately, it was not very good, and hopefully they'll find a better port. But, you know, Mykonos, Santorini, Rhodos, we were in Crete yesterday, so people were able to just do whatever they want, just in the town, in a couple of the ports, they provided a bus shuttle for, you know, $8 a person round trip, which is significantly less than what a taxi cab would have been. And it's all I can tell you is it's just been great to, you know, to be able to roam on your own and, you know, experience the different ports the way you like to see it. And, but, you know, plenty of people were doing the tours.
Well, in closing here, Stuart, what's been your favorite port so far?
Well, I'll tell you, I love Rhodos here in the Greek islands. Santorini was phenomenal. Mykonos, I mean, you can't go wrong. And I certainly enjoy every time going to Athens. I love going up to the Acropolis, see the latest uncoverings there that they're finding as they're excavating the site still. And it's funny to see that 15-year restoration project that I first saw 28 years ago, and it's still ongoing. But, you know, there's always something new around the corner.
I love it. Stuart Chiron, the Cruise Guy. Follow him on Twitter at Cruise Guy. You can follow all of his adventures there and some great photos as well. Stuart, thanks for checking in, buddy.
All right, my friend. Take care.
You're listening to Cruise Radio, the trusted voice of the cruise industry.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
From the cruise industry shutdown to the restart, we've been with you every step of the way, online and on demand at cruiseradio.net.
Let's jump to Nome. He was on a four-night sailing out of Port Miami aboard Freedom of the Seas and went to Nassau and private island Perfect Day at Coco Key, or K, whatever you want to say. He joins us on the line. Hey, Nome.
Hey, how you doing, Doug?
Good, buddy. I was watching some of your videos. I understand this is your first cruise back in 18 months.
That's right.
Very cool, man. What was it like booking that first cruise back in over a year?
Well, this cruise came a little bit unexpectedly. I was invited by Royal Caribbean to take the sailing, so I only had about 4 days of preparation before I got on board the ship. But it was great. It was a little bit emotional. Similar to you, I work in the travel business. I own an agency, and I'm not only a fan of travel and a fan of cruises, it's also part of my livelihood. So the past year and a half have been quite the roller coaster. So it was very emotional for me to get on board this ship, because so much of the past year has been sort of tied up in the status of cruising worldwide. So it was very emotional and very gratifying to get back to cruising.
Now, I know men don't like to admit when they cry or have tears, but did you shed any?
You know, I thought I was going to be shedding a tear when I got on board. I was planning for that. But I was videotaping the experience and trying to capture everything. So I think there was more glee than an overwhelming emotional sort of shockwave that hit me. Yeah. As I got on board and sort of settled into my stateroom, I think that's when I got hit with that tear and said, wow, this is finally coming into play after a year and a half of waiting. So it did come, but not as I was walking on the gangway.
Yeah, for me, it was when the pilot boat came up to the side of the ship, of Celebrity Edge, picked up the pilot and kind of drove away. That's when I was like, okay, this is actually really happening now.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Let's talk about the cruise check-in. How different was it compared to other check-ins with Royal Caribbean before the shutdown?
So with this one, similar to you, I had downloaded the Royal Caribbean app and had done some of the pre-check-in health questionnaire stuff on the app before I got to the terminal. I'd been given a half-hour check-in time window. I arrived a little early. They did make us wait outside, which normally you can wait inside the terminal. They did make us wait outside until our time slot. And then when we got in, it was a very fast process. I think I clocked it at about 7.5 minutes from the time I walked inside the terminal to the time I was walking onto the ship. So it was a pretty fast process. They asked for a vaccine card. You could decline to show it. I showed mine. I'm vaccinated. And then you went through a screen with a Royal Caribbean person just where they check your passport. They scanned your bags, and then you were able to walk onto the ship. So it's pretty fast.
Okay, you're on board the ship. How was the stateroom? Anything noticeably different with protocols or anything like that?
You know, not really. The only thing that was different was that there was less paperwork in the room than pre-COVID. And then they had a small bottle of hand sanitizer and two paper kind of disposable face masks that, that you could use during the trip. But besides for that, it was pretty similar to the staterooms that I had experienced before COVID.
Was there any like tweaks in the room service, like maybe not doing it two times a day or asking you when you wanted it done? Or was that pretty much the same as pre-COVID as well?
No, it was pretty much the same. They did two, you know, morning cleaning and then a turn down in the evening. So none of that had changed. The only other thing I would say about the cabin itself was that when you ordered room service, the staff did not actually bring the tray in. They handed you the tray at the door and made mm-hmm. you carry it in yourself. So that was another small change. But besides for that, no, the room was pretty much the same kind of cabin and the same experience that we had before COVID.
Yeah. And through the cruise industry shutdown, we've noticed a lot of new ways of doing things once we start sailing again. And one of those biggies that was kind of tweaked during the shutdown was the muster drill. So I know I kind of spoke about it on Celebrity Edge a couple of weeks ago, but what was your muster thing like? Because I know Royal Caribbean Group basically rolled this out.
Yeah, they had to go to the Coast Guard and to SOLA to get it approved. And it was really great. I mean, I'm sure it was very similar to the experience that you had on Edge. Watched a couple of videos in the app, listen to the ship signal, the horn blowing on the app. And then once got on board, needed to check in with the staff at the muster station. They scanned your CPAS card and they gave you like, you know, 3 minutes of instructions to make sure that you knew where to go and what to do in the case of an emergency. So it was a vastly improved process than, you know, the original version of the muster drill where you had to sit in a crowded area, sometimes with your life vest for half an hour while you listen to this, you know, droning announcement. So definitely an enhancement in my opinion.
And speaking of droning announcements, I did notice that on mine, they had to keep reminding people, please go to your muster station so we can set sail, more or less. They didn't say it like that, but that's what they were implying. Were there like those repetitive announcements on yours?
You know, I think there were maybe one or two, but I didn't, it wasn't so often that I noticed it or that it was kind of ridiculous. So no, I don't think that was an issue on our sailing.
Very good. So y'all were well-behaved. Very nice. So how about dining? Were all the venues open and how did the buffet situation work out? Because we know it's different from cruise line to cruise line.
Yeah. So all the dining venues were open. The one caveat to that is for those who were vaccinated, who showed their vaccine card, you did get a bracelet, like a rubber colored bracelet when you checked in the terminal. And that was a signal for the crew and the staff on board that you were vaccinated. The reason I bring this up now is that determined some of the dining options that you had. So on this sailing, Izumi, the chef's table, and one of the floors of the dining room was only eligible for vaccinated travelers. So that's the one little hitch with this sailing, because it was a hybrid sailing where you had some unvaccinated adults and children, but mostly vaccinated adults, that certain venues you had to be vaccinated to eat in there. Now, in the Windjammer, that was open to everyone. And really the only difference with the Windjammer was that you did not dish any of the food onto your plate yourself, which I know is a little bit different. I think Carnival, you are allowed to serve yourself in the Lido there. Mm-hmm. But with Royal Caribbean at the Windjammer, they were putting the food onto your plate. Really the only time you grabbed anything is they had a few areas where there were like pre-portioned, pre-plated little things of like yogurt or salad that you could grab yourself. But everything else, including getting your water or juices or sodas, the crew did that for you and they brought it to you or they put it onto your plate for you.
Did you have a chance to speak with or kind of see how it was if you were unvaccinated, like what those people thought?
You know, I did not go out and seek any unvaccinated people to interview them. I didn't think that it was, I didn't think that they would really want to have that conversation. And I didn't want to sort of inquire or have it be where they felt, you know, they were under the microscope. But it seemed like everyone who was on board, whether they were vaccinated or not, had plenty of places to eat and everyone seemed to be enjoying themselves. So I don't think that they had a negative experience from the standpoint of dining that they couldn't eat in certain places, because most of the places they could eat, they could get food at the Windjammer, at the, you know, the El Loco Fresh that they have on the pool deck, you know, at Perfect Day at Coco Cay, all the food venues were open to them as well.
Yeah, see, I was with you. So I did a couple of interviews this past week, and they were asking me the same question. And I'm like, I didn't really find it appropriate to just have a conversation with someone because, you know, just because someone's wearing a mask doesn't mean they're not vaccinated either, you know?
Yeah, and it's such a charged issue. And on this sailing, because it was one of these hybrid sailings, there was a mask requirement on board that anyone who was indoors and moving, so walking down the Royal Promenade or in the stairwell or elevator, or walking down the hall to your cabin, you had to be wearing a mask if you were over age 2, regardless of your vaccine status. So there was a lot of mask wearing in indoor places on my sailing. So everyone had a mask on, including the crew. So I guess, you know, that was just sort of a unique aspect to these Florida departures, is because it's a mixed population of vaccinated and unvaccinated, the government and the CDC are requiring those sailings for everyone to be wearing masks, at least on Royal Caribbean.
Yeah.
And they're indoors.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the outdoor spaces. Like, I know the ship wasn't at full capacity. So how were the spaces outdoors? And speak on the entertainment a little bit, too, through your voyage.
Sure. So space outdoors was abundant. Our sailing only was about 25% occupied. So just over 1,000 people on a ship that typically sails with 4,000 people. There was a lot of space. There was no need to go and stake out a lounge chair or anything like that in any of the outdoor spaces. There was plenty of space. And from that perspective, it was great. You didn't have to have that as a factor with trying to stake out and get the best spot and get there early. You didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. So that was great. Now, in terms of entertainment, they did have all of the typical entertainment you'd expect on a cruise. So they had the ice skating shows in Studio B, the ice skating rink. They had comedians and production show in the main theater. They had lounge musicians singing and playing live music in various lounges like Bolero's and Star Lounge. So there was pretty much a full assortment of entertainment that you would normally get on a cruise.
If you weren't vaccinated, could you still go into like the main show theater?
Yeah. So the way they handled it on this sailing was at the deck 3 entrance to the theater, you had to be vaccinated to sit in that area of the theater, and you could remove your mask in that area of the theater. If you were not vaccinated, or you were a child who was not vaccinated, you had to be on the deck 4 part of the theater, and you did have to keep your mask on. So they did kind of in the main theater, at least they separated people based on their vaccine status. In Studio B, they had a few performances, the ice skating performances that were for everyone, and a few performances where it was only for vaccinated passengers. In some of the lounges, like when they would do trivia or bingo, in those sessions, they were for vaccinated guests only. So you had to kind of pay attention to the cruise compass or the schedule in the app about whether it was a vaccinated only event or vaccinated only venue. And I would say maybe 20% of the show and entertainment activities were for vaccinated only, but most of them everyone could enjoy.
What was the going ashore situation like? Because I know it varies from cruise line to cruise line, where you have to either have an excursion to get off the ship, or you don't have to have an excursion if you're vaccinated. And there's like a lot of different rules. So how did it play out with Royal Caribbean?
So my sailing was, we had two port stops, Nassau and Perfect Day at Coco Cay, the Royal Caribbean's private island. So Nassau, if you were vaccinated, you could get off the ship and wander on your own and do whatever you want. You could take a taxi and go to Atlantis or walk down Bay Street, anything you wanted to do if you were vaccinated. Now, if you were not vaccinated, you had to do a Royal Caribbean run excursion and you could not wander off. You had to stay within that bubble. And once the excursion was over, you had to get back on the ship. You could not wander around Nassau on your own. So really, vaccinated or not vaccinated determine what the rules were in Nassau. Now, in Perfect Day, the way they're operating it is everyone can get off and come and go as they please, whether or not you're vaccinated. So there was no restrictions at Perfect Day.
All right. So you make your way back to Port Miami. How was debarkation?
It was very smooth and easy. What they asked and urged everyone to do was to stay in your cabin, turn your TV to Channel 2, where they constantly had a scroll of which boarding groups were invited to get off the ship at a certain time. So they had given you the standard luggage tag the day before the cruise ended for you to put on your suitcase and put it outside your door. And based on the number that they had given you, they were calling off those groups for debarkation. Now, I had transfers to the Miami airport with the cruise line. My flight wasn't until 2 o'clock. So I had kind of one of the later disembarkations at 9 p.m. I grabbed my bags. I didn't put my bag out the night before. But I grabbed my bags and I walked off the ship, and that whole process was again like 5 minutes. They do an awesome thing in Miami with Royal Caribbean where they have facial recognition. So you take your mask down for a second, it scans your face, it matches it to your passport information that they've got in their system, and then you walk out. It was very, very simple.
The facial recognition definitely makes it easy. I know one of my first sailings before the shutdown, coming off Norwegian Sky in Port Miami, it takes your picture, it turns green, and you're good to go.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a really great thing. You don't have to fumble and find your passport as you're trying to get off the ship.
For sure. So you've been home for a few days now. Looking back at your entire trip from start to finish, is there anything that Royal Caribbean could have maybe done differently or something they really excelled at?
I felt very safe in terms of the ship cleanliness. I saw them wiping down handles and railing constantly throughout the whole time that I was on board. So I was pretty impressed with that. The signage throughout the ship about when you needed to wear a mask, like they had reminders every time you were going from indoors to outdoors, you know, it reminded you, mask on, please. So they were very good at communicating that. So, you know, from that perspective, the entire experience was what I hoped it would be. I wanted it to be a cruise. I wanted it to sort of work the way it was supposed to. I wanted there to be food and entertainment and places to relax and venues to go, you know, things like casino and spa and all of those things. So all of that operated exactly like it was supposed to. And I think that was the best part of it, is that it worked. It was the cruise that we all expect and want. Now, on my sailing, like I said, only 25% occupied. As a result of there not being nearly as many passengers on board, the typical cruise energy that you get with a contemporary cruise line like a Carnival and Royal Caribbean, that kind of excitement and enthusiasm, I didn't feel that. But maybe I think Royal Caribbean, especially Royal Caribbean and Celebrity, is they're kind of one of the first ones out of the gate with resuming cruising. They really want to get the health and safety and the operations thing down before they kind of add the additional spices of the excitement and the entertainment and the cruise director that's getting everyone on their feet and jumping around. So I think I didn't notice that as much as I have before, but I'm pretty confident that those aspects of the cruising experience will be back later this summer once they get a few more cruises under their belt and make sure that everything is operating smoothly.
Yeah, you bring up a good point there. Were there like deck parties or any big sail away parties or anything like that?
They did have a little bit of a you know, deck party and like 70s theme night in Studio B, but it wasn't really prevalent and it wasn't a big part of the experience like it normally is on a cruise like this. And that's kind of why I mentioned it's the one thing that was kind of missing, but I think that's maybe intentional because of these are just the first few sailings out of the gate and they want to get the health and safety and the operations, all of those kinks ironed out and making sure that those things are going smoothly before they introduce those kind of additional entertainment pieces to the experience.
I'm curious, what are you telling your clients if they're skeptical about cruising again?
We're telling them that now is a really good time to take a cruise because you're getting kind of like a, you know, when I was thinking about it in my head, you're kind of getting like a seaborne experience in terms of space and caliber of service with a Royal Caribbean price. So you're getting that much more space and service. And this is sort of a unique time this summer where this is probably going to be only time in the foreseeable future where you're going to be able to have ships that are not as full, where you're going to be able to get great deals on last minute as the cruise lines are going back into service and they're just announcing sailings that they haven't been able or had on the books to open to sell for the past 2 years. They're kind of announcing sailings for September now, so they only have a couple months to fill them. Those sailings are not going to be full, so you're going to get a good price and you're going to get a great experience because the ships won't be full. So that's one thing that we're telling them. And then, you know, next year and into 23, the demand is really strong right now. So people who do want to get back to cruising next year, they shouldn't wait. They should get something deposited and booked now so that they can lock in their space and lock in a reasonable price for their sailings that they want to take in the future. But no hesitation with taking a cruise. I'm going on another one in 3 weeks from now out of Seattle. I'm very enthusiastic and positive about cruising and about the high quality experience that I know our clients are already having. We already have clients who've been sailing in Europe and out of St. Martin. We have clients that have been on Freedom and are on Edge right now. We're hearing already that the experiences have been very positive and they're very happy to be back at sea.
I was watching some of your videos online before we actually started talking here. So where could we find you?
So the easiest thing to do is to search on YouTube for Expedia Cruises Scottsdale. My store's in Scottsdale, Arizona. So if you just search Expedia Cruises Scottsdale, you'll find it. And I know you're gonna add it to the notes as well.
Very good. We've been talking with Noam about his 4-night cruise on Royal Caribbean's Freedom of the Seas from Port Miami. Noam, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us, my friend. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, Doug. Great to talk to you.
All right, Dougie, let's see what we got for you, buddy.
Cruise Radio is produced at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Get cruise news, ship reviews, and money-saving tips every Thursday on Cruise Radio. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show. If you want to help spread the word, give Cruise Radio a 5-star review. Find Cruise Radio where you listen to your favorite podcast, or online at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.